This week on the podcast, we look at our fifth Samuel L. Jackson 101 movie, and we're going higher, further, faster, baby. That's right, we're watching Captain Marvel.
I'm such a junkie. Every day all I want is more. So entertain me right now. So entertain me right now.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. I am Shauna and I am here with my fellow junkies.
Alex.
Haley.
And Nicole.
Today, we are back to our Samuel L. Jackson 101 class with a lesson on Captain Marvel. So Sam Jackson, as Nick Fury, is pretty significant to the plot. He's not first billed in this Marvel Studios film about Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Veers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Brie Larson. However, there's probably more Nick Fury in this film than there is in any of the other Marvel slash Avengers movies. So, what did you guys all think of Captain Marvel? Haley, let's start with you. I know you hate this movie.
Oh, what gave it away? Yeah, so I've seen this movie. This was, I think, my fourth or fifth viewing. Obviously, I cosplay as Carol Danvers and Captain Marvel. I'm a big Captain Marvel fan. I just wrote down in my notes the same thing that I have thought since it came out, which is that this movie is criminally underrated. And I love it from start to finish. I guess if I was getting critical, there's a couple parts that are a little slower when they get into kind of her like origin or backstory. But for the most part, I love it. And I love Samuel L. Jackson in this movie. And it's a good kind of introduction to Nick Fury as a character who obviously appears throughout the MCU. So
Alex and Nicole, had you seen this movie before?
Mm-mm.
I've seen it once.
Okay, overall first impressions.
I think this movie kind of solidified my feelings towards all of MCU and how I'm kind of over it. Just done. It's the same story all the time. It's just like this superhero kind of like finding themselves. And then like there's like this moment where they find their identity and then become even stronger than they were in the beginning. I don't know. I'm kind of over it. And I think it's because I watched the Batman movie that felt more grounded and realistic to me than seeing like superheroes in space going through like alien spaceships.
So you're like, hope, happiness, joy, pass. Give me the darkness and the depression of the DC universe.
Yeah, give me life.
Feel it in a way. Sorry. Okay, Nicole.
I kind of agree with Alex. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the Marvel series, so it was okay for me. If someone put it on, I'd watch it, but I wouldn't voluntarily put it on again or turn it on, watch it.
See, and that's the thing, too. Like, you watch this movie, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I know what the Tesseract is. I know who Nick Fury is. I know who these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are. But, you know, even though it's a standalone movie, I still feel like there are other parts of the MCU that are very heavily in this movie that you need. And if you don't, and if you aren't as connected to the MCU, then there's no real way to care. It's the same way I felt, like, about Spider-Man.
Yeah, this movie comes in phase three of the MCU.
So this movie was released
phase four.
In between Infinity War and Endgame.
Right.
Because at the end of Infinity War, we see the beeper, the pagers, as the youths called it. Beeper, pager, guys.
Yeah, pager.
Pager?
Yeah.
Beeper, pager.
I'm team pager.
Pager.
Oh, it's a beeper. Yeah. And it's him, you know, reaching out to her.
Yeah.
I think it just depends on what part of the country you're from.
Probably it's like soda versus pop.
Yeah.
Or remote versus clicker. Anyone.
Oh, that's a remote.
Clicker, I want to punch him in the face.
A clicker?
Yeah.
Pass me the clicker and the soda pop on my beeper.
To all the listeners in Kansas City or wherever they call it a clicker, we apologize.
We're sorry, we love you and your clickers.
Sounds inappropriate.
It does. Let me see that clicker. Show me your beeper and I'll show you my clicker.
Oh, I have a beeper.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we don't even know what we're saying.
I know.
Okay, anyway.
But yeah, so to your point, if you like, this comes near the end of the Infinity Saga in its entirety. So yeah, if you don't already have an established kind of connection to the MCU, it's funny, my brother, he's watched, you know, a Marvel movie here or there. And he went to me. He wanted to see the Spider-Man movies. He's seen all the Spider-Man movies. And he's like, I feel like I should go back and like watch all the Marvel stuff from the beginning, but it's like so intimidating because there's just so much. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been doing that with my daughter. We just started from the very beginning.
Yeah. And
we watch maybe one or two movies a month. We're just taking our time. And it's been really fun.
What are their age differences?
To go, my daughter?
Well, you said your daughter and somebody else that...
My brother.
Yeah, your brother.
Yeah, my brother is a full-grown man.
I think that's part of it. I feel like, you know, your daughter's like young.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, curious. But your brother's a full-grown man and he knows that he missed all of this.
But here's the funny thing, too, is that he will easily go back. He'll watch, you know, a soccer game every day that's 3.5 hours long. But that's not intimidating. So I think it all just boils down to, like, your interest and what you're committed to.
I completely agree. I mean, I think you and I both are, like, the Marvel stans who, like, I'll take my Marvel fandom to the grave. Even if things are, like, I didn't particularly enjoy the Eternals. And that's the one time I didn't enjoy a Marvel movie. And I felt so bad, like, saying it out loud.
Yeah.
It's like saying, it's weird. You don't think God's real or something. And you're like, someone's going to hear me.
When you have that, like, off burrito and you're like, but I know burritos are supposed to be good every time.
But Chipotle slaps. So why was this one so bad?
Why are, like, these beans so dry?
It must have been a fluke. It must have been a fluke. It's fine. It's fine.
It's true.
Okay, so Captain Marvel was Marvel's first female-led superhero film. It was co-directed by a woman, Anna Boden, who also co-wrote it with Ryan Fleck and Geneva Robertson-Dworit. It was released in 2019 as part of Marvel's Phase 3. It grossed over $1.1 billion worldwide, making it the first female-led superhero film to pass that billion-dollar mark. And it became the fifth highest grossing film of 2019. Did you see Wonder Woman? I feel like you watched Wonder Woman.
I haven't seen anything unless we had to watch it for the podcast.
Oh my God.
Nicole coming in with a realness. She's like, the only movies I have ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, pop culture junkie movie.
I will say I do appreciate the fact that Captain Marvel was a female. And I thought that Brie Larson played her very well.
Yeah, because, well, the first time I watched it, I thought it was great. The best part was her just, like, flying through that spaceship. And I was like, oh, my God, super cool. And then she's, like, glowing and, like, in the middle of space. And then I watched it again, just now in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, my God.
He watched it at home this week.
I wonder why it didn't hit the same on your phone in the parking lot as it might have.
In the IMAX experience.
It didn't hit.
He's like, I didn't have the sound on, but for some reason.
I was watching a YouTube video in the background and I had it.
Sending text.
He was streaming Donda 2 and also watching the movie.
I think I would have enjoyed it more if I did.
That's fair.
I love Brie Larson. When this movie came out, it got review bombed. Because of, and I'm just going to call it like it is, because of neckbeards who hate women.
Incels, honestly. That was it.
Yeah, it was the first female-led superhero movie in the Marvel Universe. It was long overdue. And she gave this interview where she pretty much said, I'm doing all this press and I'm being interviewed by a bunch of, like, grown white men. And this movie is not for them. Like, this movie is for girls and especially for young girls.
Yeah.
And they took offense to that, the grown white men.
She literally said she wanted more diversity in her interviews because everybody was white and a man. And for some reason, that was a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they review bombed it before it ever even came out.
Yeah.
So it never really stood a fair chance. And still to this day, you know, as I mentioned, I cosplay as Captain Marvel and I've had really bad experiences on, like, Facebook groups and stuff where I'll share a photo in my cosplay and I will just have hordes of men come in and call me a cow and call me such horrible things. Yeah.
Captain Marvel's costume is probably the best costume in all of the MCU.
It's so sick.
Yeah, honestly. I love it. The colors and the star and, like, it's just dope.
Her scuba suit.
Exactly. Nice suit. She looks like she's playing laser tag. I think it's because cosplay is, like, a powerful female lead who is covered up.
Right.
And I mean, if you see a cosplayer and, you know, this is no, like, nothing bad about this because I cosplay like this. I was literally Elvira last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
If you cosplay as a woman with her breasts out and her ass and everything and, like, looking, like, sexualized, then no one's going to be in the comments. I mean, or unless they're calling you a slut, but women can never do anything correct.
It's like you get the opposite. Yeah,
exactly.
They can't do anything right. And that was another criticism of Brie Larson was like, oh, her outfit wasn't sexy enough.
She didn't smile enough.
She didn't smile. That's the one that you see all the time. She didn't smile.
They literally make a joke about that in the movie, which I loved. And the guy's like, you should smile more. And then she steals his motorcycle. It's like, yes.
Yeah, that's
perfection.
Awesome. That so I do love all the like female empowerment parts of the film. The sequence where it shows her getting knocked down throughout her life. And then rising back up.
Oh my God, I almost cried.
I actually did cry when I saw that in the theater.
I did too.
I got chills. I got teary-eyed. And I think that's one of those things where unless you have felt that way in some capacity, which as probably a 45-year-old white man, you can't really connect to.
Yeah.
Unless you have felt that way in some capacity, you're not going to connect to that sequence.
Yeah.
And then obviously we saw it later we saw it in Endgame later too, where the sequence of the women all fighting together, you know, and it received the same type of commentary and criticism.
Really? I didn't know that.
It did. I mean, it's funny if you think about it, like all of these beginning MCU movies, we had Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, men, right? And no one bats an eye at that. You're never going to get I don't know, people being like, oh, there's so many men.
Chris Hemsworth should smile more.
Yeah.
I don't know. That makes me feel weird because in a lot of like, I guess, non-white cultures, like at least like in my culture and even like American, like indigenous cultures, like the women are like the hierarchy, like they're the top and they're like admired. And like, I love my mom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then like, there's so much. They're powerful. They literally bring in birth.
Yeah.
They create bless you, Alex.
What the heck, bro? Like, come on. Chill. Stand back.
Honestly. Like, sit down. But
I mean, for me, all right, just coming back to the movie and talking about Sam Jackson 101, I think that's one of the qualms I had with this movie, just watching it. Because we're talking about Brie Larson right now. We're talking about Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that's fair.
They're all right. But we're, this is probably the most that we've seen Nick Fury in an MCU movie. And he still doesn't even have a movie yet.
Yeah.
He doesn't show up till 28 minutes into the film.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about Nick Fury, like, as a character. So if we're going in the MCU timeline, like, in chronological order, this is his, quote, first appearance.
Right.
The de-aging technology in this movie is
incredible.
I was like, is that hair?
Yeah. Right?
It's crazy. Him and Clark Gregg, both, they de-aged both of them.
Yeah.
And both of them, I was like, what?
It was seamless. Like, were you kind of shook when you saw him show up and you're like, wait, he looks kind of young?
Mm. No, not really.
You didn't notice that he looked completely young.
It's the same. He just used a picture and then
he looked good for sure, but I didn't really realize, I guess. I wasn't looking too deep into it, I guess.
Yeah.
I was kind of just
watching. Yeah,
they did some like heavy de-aging on him because, I mean, the movie is set in what, 96?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mid-90s.
Yeah.
90-something.
Yeah. I wonder if they use, like, images from... Because he was doing movies at that
time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they use, like, those images to put...
Well, it's interesting because the first time that I remember seeing this, like, de-aging technology, kind of, was in Captain America Civil War.
When they did it on Tony Stark.
Right.
It was so good.
And that was... But that was, like, they did. They took young footage of Robert Downey Jr. because they have so much of it since he was in film.
Yeah.
And they kind of... meshed it together. So I wonder if it was the same thing.
It's called like deep fake technology, and you can layer like any actor's face. Like we could layer Brie Larson's face on top of Nicole's and then release a video that almost makes it look like Brie Larson is the one doing the podcast. Yeah. But it makes it a lot easier when it's actually them as the actor, just you're deep faking their younger selves on them. So I think that's a lot of what Book of Boba Fett did when they brought back young Luke. And it looked so much better than it did even in Mandalorian.
Do you guys know if they use like any like you know how you see those like dots that they put on their faces when they're doing like that CGI stuff? Do you guys know if that's what they did with
like the facial tracking?
Yeah, like was he like in these scenes with a bunch of facial tracking? Like
I don't
talking
know.
To
that's a good question, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I would be fascinated to watch that process. I do know like with Book of Boba Fett, the deep fake of Mark Hamill was better that time around because after The Mandalorian, a fan actually was like, hey, I can do that better. Watch me.
Yep.
And then he did it. And then Disney hired him.
Oh, that's incredible.
Right? Imagine.
Yeah. It's so funny to me, like, Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars, but the de-aging in Marvel is always so much better than the de-aging in Star Wars. Like, when they had Carrie Fisher at the very end of Rogue One, and she looks all kind of plasticky. I'm like, Marvel would never. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no. I was just going to say kind of on the flip, like, the other end of that is I loved the old lady fight sequence.
What was it, the
bus or the
train?
When
she realizes that the old lady is a Skrull.
Yeah, a Skrull. Yeah.
And she like kicks her ass on the plane. Or on the, yeah, the train.
She just smiles at her. I'm like,
oh. Yeah, she's like, that's sweet. Well, it's like very subtle, but she bumps into the actual lady on the way into the like train, which I didn't notice on my first viewing, which is how she like recognizes her. Like, I just saw you out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sam Jackson's chemistry with Brie Larson.
Oh my God. I love them together. Carol is so dry and kind of like sarcastic. And he is kind of trying that tough guy persona, but also is like, you know, super fresh and kind of shield. And
yeah, he still kind of feels youthful.
Yeah. He has both of his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little weird seeing him. So I don't know if you guys watched like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all.
I did not.
But he makes several appearances in that. And then obviously throughout the other Marvel movies. So it's like by the time I got to this movie, I'm so accustomed to Nick Fury with the eye patch and Nick Fury like with the trench coat and being very disgruntled and being like, yeah, let Coulson die. It'll unite the Avengers.
And now here he's like, kitty, kitty.
Exactly. Yeah. And him and Coulson are both super green.
Yeah.
And it's just really bizarre to see him. Yeah, and the cat. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. The Flurkin.
Flurkin.
Did you guys catch the like Sam Jackson? Because obviously you can't say, you know, mother.
Mother Flurkin.
The mother Flurkin. I was like, yes. Even my daughter, she's like, they use bad words in these movies, Mom.
Literally, The Eternals was the first time they had a sex scene in any Marvel movie.
What was that?
And it was pretty tame, too.
It was super tame.
Rated R?
No, it was PG-13. It was a very soft. Oh, okay. It was like we're kissing.
And now we're on the sand under a blanket.
And now we're going to the ground.
Yeah.
If you watch like the MCU shows on Netflix, like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, those are a little more gritty.
Yeah, those are TVMA.
Yeah, you see some pound town.
Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Goodness, need a glass of water. Cigarette.
Yeah, that's definitely the more adult version.
So in the MCU, I guess I'll direct this to Alex and Haley. Where do we last see Nick? So he was being impersonated by a Skrull at the end of...
Isn't he in space somewhere? Didn't he join?
Yeah.
Right. So we're talking about currently, right?
Yeah. Where is he right now as we speak?
Oh, like in 2022, you mean?
So we know he got blipped.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the end of Infinity War. He turns into dust, right? Yes.
He almost said a mother. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
So, but we haven't technically seen him since the blip because he doesn't come back in Endgame at all. However.
Oh, you're right. Okay, wait.
Spider-Man, right?
He was in back in
Spider-Man. He was not in Spider-Man.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so in Far From Home, he's a Skrull the whole time.
Right.
And then the real Nick Fury is in space
world.
With the Skrulls.
The Skrulls, yeah.
Correct.
Got it.
So in Captain Marvel, Ben Mendelsohn plays Talos, the Skrull. And as it currently stands, there is a series in production right now called Secret Invasion.
That's right.
Which is going to pick up with Nick Fury along with Talos.
Hopefully that can be kind of like our Nick Fury standalone show then.
It's going to be
with him as the lead.
Series. And it was long rumored to have all sorts of characters in it that they're not going to have. So they talked about bringing back like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that kind of stuff. Oh, he's going to be in the Marvels.
That makes sense.
That comes out in 2023. But yeah, Secret Invasion is supposed to come out this year. It's going to be 6 episodes and it'll have Sam Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Emilia Clarke, Kobe Smulders comes back as Maria Hill.
I love Maria Hill. She's a very underrated character in this universe.
Olivia Colman from The Crown. Oh, and Martin Freeman, who was in Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. I like him in the
MCU. He'll be back in this. And Kingsley Ben-Adir, who was in, I know him, he's on Peaky Blinders.
Not to be confused with Ben Kingsley?
Different. No, this.
Who is also in the MCU.
This is the love interest on Noel. Remember the guy from Arizona on Noel?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
He's in it. Okay. And I think he might be playing like a villainous type character. So
I really hope we get to see more of Nick Fury because I really like him as a character. I think he's a good father figure, kind of quote unquote, to the Avengers and kind of keeps them all in line. And you can tell that him and Carol really care about each other throughout the movie.
Yeah, I really like their relationship. And I think Kevin Feige said that Secret Invasion is going to be a showcase for Sam Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn. So it'll put them front and center. And it's supposed to deal with like the political paranoia elements of the fact that if Skrulls were real, they could be anyone at any time and who they are. And so kind of dealing with the ramifications of that. Yeah.
Interesting.
So here's my question. If you were a Skrull and you could choose to look like anybody, who would you want to look like?
That is a great question. I want Nicole to go first.
So obviously, I want to be like Billie Eilish, but she's way too popular and be recognized anywhere she goes. So I'm trying to think like...
You want someone that could like get the perks of being famous without getting like mobbed in the grocery store?
So maybe like Sia, because she never shows her face.
Ooh.
Smart. And I can go to the grocery store normal.
I mean, technically, we could all be Sia now. Let's just throw the wig on. They wouldn't
all four of us can be Sia.
There we go.
What's the point of being a Skrull if nobody, like changing into somebody if you don't know that person?
Yeah, true. Who would you be, Alex?
Because then I could just kill anyone I want.
Sia's on a murder spree.
So dark.
TMZ first reports it.
I don't know. Obama?
That'd be cool.
Oh my God. You'd be a great Obama.
Thanks. I'm sure.
I mean, I think I would just be Gaga, you guys. It's pretty boring. Or I would just like...
Cool.
See, I wonder if Skrulls could like choose different body parts for different people to
come
see.
Frankenstein situation.
I would be this freakish Frankenstein character with like Kim's ass, Gaga's head.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be great, you guys. What about you, Haley?
I think I'd just be Brie Larson.
God, she is perfect.
I love her. Yeah. And she keeps posting these... selfies of her workouts and stuff for the Marvels. And I'm like, come on, girl. Like, I'm straight, but like, hi. Hello. Call me. So, the Marvels, as I mentioned, Sam Jackson's going to be in that. It's coming out in 2023. So, right now, just launched on Disney Plus is a series called Miss Marvel,
which we recommend. It's super cute.
Absolutely. Especially if you're like me and you like fangirl over Captain Marvel and Carol Danvers, because the plot of Miss Marvel is this teenage girl who is obsessed with Captain Marvel, looks up to her, idolizes her, and then develops her own powers.
So this is like, you know how the movie is set in the 90s. Is Miss Marvel set today?
Yeah, it's current in the MCU timeline. So not mild spoilers, I guess. She goes to like a con in the first
Avenger
episode.
Con.
Yeah, which I want to go to Avenger Con. Anyway, I digress. So she goes to a con, essentially, and she's dressed like Captain Marvel. And there's a mural there that's like, thank you, like the fallen.
Oh,
and it has Tony and it has Black Widow, like a painting of them. So this is up to date in the MCU. Mm-hmm. And she's basically, Captain Marvel's her favorite superhero.
Yeah.
And she is in the comic books, too. Like, if you read the first, like, arc of the Miss Marvel comics. And they changed her powers. That's a whole nother
A little bit,
discussion.
But she still stretches.
Exactly. She's still in Biggins.
In Biggins.
But yeah, she's a huge like Marvel fangirl like us.
Yeah. So it was cool watching it and feeling reflected. Yeah. But yeah, so the movie is then going to unite Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and then Monica Rambeau, who we see in Captain Marvel as a little girl, but then we have seen her grown up
in WandaVision.
Who's that lady that plays her? Because I'd be crushing on her.
God, she's so hot. My husband and I just watched Candyman last weekend, and she was in it, and she's really good in that movie, too.
She's going to play Photon.
That's right. That's her name.
So she gets powers in the future?
She gets powers in WandaVision.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. Tiana Paris.
Tiana Paris. What's up, mama? How you doing?
I like how this has just turned into like me lusting after Brie Larson and Alex trying to hit on Tiana Paris. Like Captain Marvel was like not even like a thirsty movie. And here we are like,
yes, daddy and mommy.
I'm talking about WandaVision. Yeah. Talking about
yeah, we know. She's a little kid in this one.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Let's talk about all the 90s references in this movie, because they really just beat you over the head with the 1990s.
From the start.
Right. So, okay. So she crash lands into a Blockbuster.
Yeah, that beat her in the head.
And then she has to go to a payphone. Oh, she has to go to a Radio Shack, which was lovely.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a Circuit City in the movie? No.
I think it's just Radio Shack.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and then a payphone.
And a payphone.
We've got the Nine Inch Nails shirt that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm. Have you used a payphone ever in your life, Nicole?
No.
Interesting.
Have you ever heard a Nine Inch Nails song?
No.
Have you ever heard of Nine Inch Nails?
I mean, nowadays with acrylics.
Did you?
Hi, kids. Do you like violence? Do you want to watch me stick Nine Inch Nails through each one of my eyelids?
That's an Eminem lyric.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
You outed me.
Sorry. Have you ever been to a video rental store?
Yes.
There it is.
I know what Blockbuster and Radio Shack are.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Have you been to them?
I got a microphone stand from Radio Shack because I like to sing in my bedroom.
Radio Shack. Yes. It's still around, isn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure it went out of business.
I think so.
Hey, if you work at a Radio Shack, please, we want to hear from you.
I think the last person to work at a Radio Shack was Sean Astin in Stranger Things.
We want to know who you are. We want to have you on the podcast.
Yeah,
but there's a ton of, I mean,
the soundtrack
is just lit. Yeah.
Is really, really good.
Yeah.
The fight sequence to Just a Girl by No Doubt. Oh, yeah, like had, I want that so in my good. Veins.
They had Chasing Waterfalls in there too.
Yeah, they did. The whole soundtrack was perfection.
It was really good.
And then when she goes into the supreme consciousness thing that the scrolls go into.
Oh, right.
And the lady's like, ooh, Nirvana. Oh, yeah.
First of all, I was mad confused about her movement. I was like, does she know rhythm?
I think that she's not really a human, so probably not. This is what the hip kids are dancing to.
Guess what it looked like? It looked like she's just doing it because she felt like it was the right thing to do.
Probably.
Wasn't sure how to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jude Law in this movie a little bit, too.
Oh, I wrote down, this is another reason why I would like to look like Brie Larson, so I could call up Jude Law and be like, let's just go to lunch. Remember me? Good times.
You have to dress up like his nanny, and then he'll take you out to lunch.
More than that.
A little throwback reference.
I love him. I know he's the bad guy. Don't care. I love him so much. I wish he could come back in some capacity.
Question for Nicole and Alex. Well, you've seen it before, but were you guys surprised when he was exposed as the bad guy in the movie? Did you kind of see it coming?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either. But
I liked how they started that. Because that's the thing, though. Like, it's happened. Mm-hmm. Like, remember Spider-Man? When we thought that the freaking Mysterio wasn't a bad guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's just happens all the time. I'm done.
Marvel is teaching us not to trust people.
Technically.
This did come up before that. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's all coming back.
Even in Iron Man. Remember the guy that worked with Tony Stark?
Yeah, that's true. That was in the very beginning of the MCU.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like you're saying, don't trust anybody. And it's the same freaking movie all the time. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I'm sorry, MCU, but yeah.
Alex wants a movie where everyone is trustworthy the entire time.
Alex has jumped on the Martin Scorsese train that Marvel is repetitive and monotonous.
No, he wants the DCEU.
Yeah.
But see, that feels a little more. I feel like Martin Scorsese would direct a great DCU movie.
I don't think he ever would, though.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think he's
for that
hot stuff.
Unless it's Batman.
Yeah.
And no guy with real powers is $1 million.
We really
haven't
don't
seen
need
Batman. You guys,
God, no more Batman movies.
Still haven't seen it. Although you know what? Speaking of DC and its connection to Captain Marvel, so DC has their own version of Captain Marvel. Was originally called Captain Marvel, but now it's called Shazam,
which is awesome.
And that is, in my top three DC movies.
That's an underrated movie right there.
Yeah,
that's
really good. Did the second one come out already? Or am I imagining?
They announced it, but it hasn't come out.
Okay. I think it's supposed to come, at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, and Adam Brody was in that movie, and I love Adam Brody.
Oh, he is, that's true.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you watch The O.C.?
The only episode of The O.C. that I ever watched is the one where the Killers sing on it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. That's all you need to see.
But isn't he married to Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl
in real life?
I think they are, yeah.
Cute.
So it's interesting because there was a legal dispute over the name Captain Marvel, because there was one in Marvel and one in DC. And Marvel ended up winning to retain the copyright for the name. And so Marvel ended up having to like publish these one-off comic books over a series of years in order to retain the name.
Yeah.
And then DC wasn't allowed to use the same name. And so the title got switched to Shazam, which is the catchphrase that
like Shazam!
When he turns into Captain Marvel, he would say Shazam. But now that's just what he's known.
Yeah.
Is Shazam.
See, here's another thing. I thought this movie, there was like this whole dispute as to like whether it's Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel.
So Marvel is the name of her like
captain.
Yeah, the best
of her captain. Yeah. And so I think she, in at least the universe, changes it to Captain Marvel because of that little conversation she has with Nick Fury when he's like, what about the Marvels? And he sings a little song to her while they're doing the dishes, you know? I think that is probably why she chooses that name as an homage to Marvel. Mm-hmm. But then also she's like, oh, Nick, that was cute.
It was cool, too, how you saw the origin of the name the Avengers.
Yeah, I loved that.
Being her flight name, right? Mm-hmm. Or her call sign. That was really cool.
Yeah, I did like that a lot.
I didn't love that Goose is how he lost his eye.
I know, it makes me so sad.
It was just kind of... I was like, really, Nick Fury? Like, that's the way that you go down?
I do think it's funny in the very beginning of the movie, it kind of teases that he injures his eye. And so the first time you see it, you're like, well, there it goes. There's his eye. And then you're like, oh, healed.
And he goes, oh, it was just a scratch. It's fine.
Yeah. And then in this one, he like gets it scratched again. You're like, oh, maybe he'll be fine. Oh, it was the Flurkin.
Yeah.
It was the mother Flurkin.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's how it is when you get scars. Like, I have this, like, one scar on my finger. I can't even feel, like, half of it.
Was it a Flurkin?
No, it was a light bulb.
Oh, close.
It just popped in my hand.
Anybody who's ever owned a cat, though, knows that they turn on you. So
that's why I don't own cats.
It's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, I was waiting for this, like, waiting to see how dangerous this Flurkin was. Because everybody's like, oh, my God, it's a Flurkin. What are you talking about?
It's pretty cat. Pretty dangerous.
And then it eats, like, 10 people at once.
Right? They did the whole scan thing. It was, like, threat level high. I was like, oh, wow, this cat is really dangerous. This is about to scratch somebody in his face. And then all of a sudden, tentacles come out of their mouth.
You're, like, watching this with your cat next to you. You just kind of look over at your cat, like, you know you're a good boy, right?
All right. Should we read through a scene?
Let's do some scene read.
I always love this part of the episode.
Okay. Who wants to be Carol and who wants to be Nick in the first one?
I'll be Carol.
I'll be Nick.
Okay.
You have three names. What do people call you?
Fury.
Just Fury?
Yep. Not Nicholas, not Joseph, just Fury.
What does your mother call you then?
Fury.
What do your friends call you?
Fury.
Kids?
If I ever have them, Fury.
Nice.
Deep.
That's good.
Deep.
That's a really cool name.
God, I wish Nick my name Fury. Was Shauna Fury.
Man.
It's like a porn star.
It's like Max Payne. Nick Fury.
Shaft. Okay. All right. Me and Nicole. Do you want to be Carol or do you want to be Nick Fury?
I don't care.
All right. I'll be Nick.
Okay. All right. This is going to get a little awkward, but I got to ask.
You think I'm one of those green things?
Can't be too careful.
You were looking at 100% red-blooded Earth, man.
I'm afraid I'm going to need proof.
We talking cheek swab or urine sample?
No. The DNA would match.
You want my AOL password?
Skrulls can only sim recent memories of their host bodies.
Oh, you want to get personal.
Name a detail too bizarre. A Skrull can never fabricate it.
If toast is cut diagonally, I can't eat it. You didn't need that, did you?
No. No, I didn't. But I enjoyed it.
Nice. All right, you guys, diagonal toast or straight across toast?
Diagonal, 100%.
If it's toast with butter, whole.
That's why I don't cut my toast.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like to bite the middle first and then go around the edges and then get back to the middle.
Wow. Yeah, because the middle's kind of soft and buttery.
I want to like know the sandwich first and then like tease it a little bit and get it right back there.
The top crust
that
is
made me feel
last.
Things.
It's oddly sexual. Now we're thirsting over toast.
I'm so hungry.
Can you see the layers when you cut it and the juice just like coming down the bread, all the like the different sauces?
Yeah. And you know, it's like the bread's all hot and then you slap that cold butter on top
like
and it
the
just
end
gets
of Bridesmaids.
Wet.
Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Is there wet bread in Bridesmaids?
It's like a sexual scene in most
with bread?
Yeah, it's like a whole sub sandwich.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I remember that.
Like after credits.
Yeah, brings out the sub sandwich with the FBI sky guy. There's a word for that.
Air Marshal.
Air Marshal.
And it's her husband in real life.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Nice. So they probably is just like, we'll get paid for a sex tape.
Sure. Comment down below if bread turns you on. Anyway.
What kind of bread? We talking wheat? Why?
Not potato bread. Not potato bread. Please.
Oh, I like it. Sour.
I was going to say sourdough turns me on. Yo. I would do bad things to a sourdough loaf right now.
Oh my God.
That's for the Patreon.
I like a loaf.
Wanted to listen to an episode about Captain Marvel.
Oh gosh. Moving on.
Trigger warning. This episode is not what you think it is going to be. All right. Should we grade this thing?
Okay. Let's give a grade to the overall movie first.
A plus.
Done. Done.
A plus plus plus.
A plus plus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it a D minus.
Oh my God. Jesus
for
Christ.
The purpose of our show and Sam Jackson 101, we spent the entire time talking about Captain Marvel and Brett.
That's totally fair. Yeah. That's totally fair. Okay. Nicole.
I'll give it a C plus. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. And I'm kind of going off of you guys and the Marvel lovers and kind of taking your input on the whole thing. So I'll give it a C plus. I kind of agree with Alex. We were supposed to be focusing on Samuel L. Jackson, but we didn't talk about him much, nor do I feel like we've seen him as much as I was expecting to in this movie for a Samuel 101 movie, I guess. So overall, C plus.
So I guess this movie kind of just shows more of Nick Fury and at least his origin story more than the other ones, which I really appreciated. And him, I guess if I'm going to give Nick Fury as a character an overall score, I really like him in the MCU. I mean, obviously, he's different than the other characters, right? He doesn't have superpowers. He's not the one who's going out there and saving the day. But if it wasn't for Nick Fury, the Avengers wouldn't even exist. He's the one who literally goes to Tony in those first movies and is like, I'm putting together a team. So I think that really, like, Samuel L. Jackson in a lot of his films kind of acts as the glue. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, like, we talked about that with Pulp Fiction, where his character is the glue to the film, kind of the moral center. And it's the same with, like, Snakes on a Plane, even.
Yeah, even in the Coach Carter.
Exactly.
The reason that the team gets together.
He is the moral center of that entire film. And so that's kind of him in the MCU. Maybe you're not saying Nick Fury's supposedly makes the perfect choices all the time and he's a flawed guy, but, like, he's the one who brings the whole team together, right? Mm-hmm. So I think overall this movie, it's not one of my favorite Marvel movies, but I definitely enjoyed it. I'm going to give it a B plus A minus. And then let's all rate what we did see of Sam in this movie.
Yeah, it's hard to rate just this movie standalone because I've seen him as Nick Fury, since 2008 or whatever. So I will say just kind of as a whole, his portrayal of Nick Fury, I'm going to give him an A plus.
Yeah.
I feel like it was perfectly cast. They couldn't have found a better Nick Fury without even having seen it. He is going to make Secret Invasion incredible.
We're
going to
watch that show because it's a Nick Fury show, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and in this, it was fun seeing him de-aged. It was fun seeing the kind of green version. It was fun seeing him work alongside Agent Coulson, who obviously I get very angry at Nick Fury for his treatment of Coulson later on in the series. But
you see his love of kitties.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. A plus.
Yeah, I think I'll give him a B, A minus, B plus, A minus. I think for the kind of like how they portrayed Nick Fury in this and his performance, there's not too much of a difference, but you can tell that he's learning in this movie. You know, when we see him in the MCU now, he's like very like strong and just, you know, one eye Nick Fury. But like, you know, as we were mentioning, like this is, I feel like this is a different take on Nick Fury that, you know, kind of like an origin story that I feel like I appreciated.
It's his first time realizing that, like, aliens exist, which he takes. I mean, he's a little like, sure, but then he kind of, you know, kind of rides with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's proven to him rather quickly when there's a Skrull in his car. Yeah. But he's like, oh, chill. All right, aliens. What do you think of Nick Fury? I know you haven't seen a whole lot of him.
I would give him an A. I kind of agree with Haley, even though I haven't seen many others or Nick Fury in anything else. I feel like they casted him very well. I feel Samuel L. Jackson plays this type of character very well. And I do appreciate that he was kind of the quote unquote like normal person in the movie. Mm-hmm. Wasn't
yeah.
someone with powers like we've just said. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate like that part, an aspect of the film, how they brought him in that way and how he is sticking by their side and trying to help him out. So I would definitely give him an A for the amount of times that we've seen him. I wish we would have saw him more because I do like him as a character and as a person. So it would have been nice to see him more. But yeah, I thought he did a really good job in the role.
I don't know, because I'm like thinking and I'm like feeling like even with Keanu Reeves and Sam Jackson, to me, like these guys are the actors playing a role.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that this is Sam Jackson playing a role that, you know, is very connected.
He doesn't
to, like,
disappear into the role, is that yours?
I guess so, yeah. Like, I don't see somebody other than Sam Jackson just playing a role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Yeah, like, if you can't picture someone else in that role because he's so embedded in it, almost. Or, like, he's so... It almost seems like this is what he's like in real life, too.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, to the point that they write his catchphrase into his movies
for
him.
Yeah, he had to ad-lib... Mother Flurkin.
Yeah, like you had to have a Mother Flurkin.
The thing
in there.
Is, too, I haven't seen many actors really portray a role. Like Edward Norton, I feel like he's one of those like people that really go into like a role and like he like becomes a completely different person, mm-hmm. but not.
Yeah, I see that in like Tom Hardy mm-hmm. and Gary Oldman
oh,
does that
goodness.
A lot. He
Gary
disappears
Oldman,
into
he's
roles.
So good.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, for somebody to really disappear into the role.
Yeah, it's so hard for me as a pop culture junkie. Like, I think for casual viewers who couldn't, you know, watch a movie and list the names of every actor who appears in the movie. Like, ever since I was a kid, I've been that person where I'm like, let's play 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like, I know all the actor names. I know their backstories. I know David Harbour's, you know, suicide stories. I know way too much about the people behind, you know, behind the characters that they're mm-hmm. portraying. And so it's hard for me to ever do that.
To disconnect from the
disconnect.
Actors.
Yeah. But at the same time, I love story so much that when the story is well written and well told, I'm not paying attention to the actor. Like to me, the best movie or TV show is the one where I don't even pay attention to like the characters. I'm so engrossed in the relationships and mm-hmm. the plot development that the individual gets lost.
Yeah, and I think that's what's like good about this movie and Sam Jackson in his movies, because like you know that Nick Fury is Sam Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, they put him in here because he fits that, and I think that's kind of why they put him in the movies that he's in.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, he's put into these roles just like you're saying because there's no one else who would fit that role, like, and he can just be himself in it. And they're like, well, Sam Jackson will do great because
which is
he can
good
be
because
him.
You yeah. want realism. You want somebody for sure. not to, you know, be effortlessly and you don't have to like work so hard to believe what you see on
mm-hmm.
the screen.
Yeah.
And he's just likable.
Yeah.
Like, I've never met anyone who's like, that guy just sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, everyone's just kind of like, yeah, he's cool. I like
I'm sorry. Did you grade him yet?
Did I? Oh, as like a character and actor in the movie. I mean, I'm going to give Nick Fury overall as a character, yeah, like an A, just because he is the glue that brings the Avengers together. And like, I think that we get kind of a character arc with him. I mean, maybe it's a little abrupt where we see him here in the 90s and the next time we see him, he's got an eye patch and a trench coat and he's like, join the Avengers initiative. But like, we get why he got there. Like he's worked his way up through S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's seen some deaths and some stuff go down. So Nick Fury, A in my book.
Nice.
All right. Ooh, we got through an MCU review, you guys. That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. I can't wait for this episode to be review bombed.
Those women on the podcast talk too much.
They need to smile more.
I can tell they're not smiling just by listening
to
you.
Why are they so angry?
None of their boobs are out either. Not one single boob in this whole episode. It's a podcast. So what is our next Samuel L. Jackson extravaganza?
Our next is our last.
The last one. Do tell, Haley.
We are going to be watching M. Night Shyamalan's Glass.
Yeah.
You guys
Crash. Shatter. No, glass breaking.
Actually, in middle school, my favorite book was Shattering Glass. And it was about this, like, this kid who was, like, very fragile. Actually, very similar to this movie. Now I'm thinking about it.
Like, physically fragile?
Yeah, like, he would break. Like,
It's like the fish on SpongeBob when they go to sell the chocolate and he's like, every morning I break all my bones.
Pretty much. And I'm interested in seeing this movie, like Glass, because I'm, you know, we're talking about, like, I guess Sam Jackson's range and like mm-hmm. you know, his ability to become these characters. And
I haven't seen this one.
I have not either. Is he a little different in this one?
He's in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Is this a sequel to Unbreakable?
So it's part of the whole Unbreakable split universe.
Okay. Because I saw Unbreakable way back when, the Bruce Willis.
He's one. In it too.
I don't know a thing about this movie except for in one of them, a guy has lots of personalities. That's all I got.
That's Split. Mm-hmm. Do you need to watch Unbreakable to understand Glass?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is Bruce so. Willis in Glass?
I think so.
Let's all read just the Wikipedia entries.
Yeah. Maybe just review Unbreakable, the plot, and before you watch Glass.
Little spark notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always good.
I love a good spark note.
College.
Honestly. Honestly. Shout out Mount Ridge High School.
I'm an English teacher, but like, yeah, I use spark notes.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is in Glass.
Okay.
Oh, and James McAvoy.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so they're all in there.
This will be a good one.
Yeah.
Holson, right. Anya Taylor-Joy.
All right. So you guys are warned here. Be prepared. Go watch Glass and be ready for
and
our episode.
And you can review it with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you for listening to another wild, wacky, wonderful episode of Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. Where can the people find you?
You can find me, Haley, on Instagram at 30NerdyThriving.
This is Alex at ALCASNUN on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me, Nicole, on Instagram and TikTok at Nicole_Eldridge and on Twitter at NALdridge14.
And you can find me, Shauna Trinidad, at Shauna Trinidad on Instagram and Twitter, SHAUNATRINIDAD. Please check out our website, popculturejunkie.com. Go to Facebook and join the Pop Culture Junkie support group. On Twitter, we are at Pop Junkies. On Instagram, we are at pop.culturejunkies. Again, get ready for our last Samuel L. Jackson 101 lesson by watching Glass. And come back next week for another hit of pop culture.
Pop Culture Junkie is a production of Pop Culture Entertainment Group. So entertainment.